Now, let's discuss some of the general categories of objections and concerns that emerge out of this exercise. We will assume that you have an objection of some kind, either general or specific, from mild to strong, and also that you have some inkling of what it's trying to do for you, how it's trying to protect you, although this may also emerge in the following discussion. One approach that makes dealing with blocks and resistance much easier is to start by respecting the needs behind them. If you've ever been in conflict with yourself, you know what it's like to want two different things at the same time. Rather than going back and forth in conflict, it's often helpful to try and identify the needs behind each of your respective desires. It may be possible that you could have both, that your objection could be met and satisfied and respected, and that your intuitions could also have a place and be able to come through more fully. Often some sort of compromise is possible, or your differing needs wind up being able to take turns being satisfied and come together in some new combination or creative synthesis. So the present situation is that while on the one hand you want to further develop your intuitive capacities, on the other hand you have some reservations or concerns about it. I'd like to talk about the usual kinds of objections that emerge and their antidotes, so to speak, the ways to deal with them. Though these may not specifically address your particular concern, chances are some aspects will overlap with your experience and be pertinent. One frequent objection people harbor about developing intuition comes down to simple garden variety fear of the unknown. If you have never spent much time within your inner experience, the places these tapes and exercises will take you initially may seem like unfamiliar landscapes. This feeling usually fades quickly as you begin to learn to use the language of your intuition and recognize that it's been present throughout your life in subtle as well as obvious forms. There is often a feeling of naturalness, of knowingness, a felt sense that emerges pretty quickly. Being in contact with your intuitive self just feels good, and the practical benefits are obvious right away, as you discover that you can ask questions of your intuition and get answers. You can, actually, as you begin to explore and practice, ask your intuition to help you with any fears or concerns you may have. Ask your intuition to assist you with objections that may come up. As with any adventure, there's always the need to have an intention to do it and some courage, some appreciation of yourself for being willing to try something new and worthwhile. Knowledge and use of your intuition can be profoundly beneficial in both a practical and a spiritual way, and can have wide-ranging benefits and implications for your life. On many occasions, people in workshops have told me that they had fears and concerns about expanding the horizon of their world, but they were going to do it anyway. A certain amount of faith and trust in your unconscious processes is probably appropriate. After all, they've gotten you this far, and your intuition is part of your unconscious. Another concern that people have about expanding their intuitive abilities is that it'll lead to embarrassment in social or professional circumstances. The concern is usually expressed with questions like, "What if I blurt things out that I shouldn't?" Or what if I make a decision but can't explain or justify it? These concerns are quite valid also, in that A, our intent with these exercises and tapes is to improve life rather than to complicate it, and B, parts of your daily world may not really be sympathetic to the use of intuition. With the concern of blurting things out, the antidote generally seems to be tact. If you remember times in your life when you were diplomatic or able to avoid saying everything that you were thinking, this will help develop the resource. Nearly everyone has had an experience like the following. Imagine going to a social function, disliking it, and the host or hostess of the function, a person you barely know, comes up to you and asks you how you like the event. And you can tell from the expression on their face that they very much want you to be enjoying yourself. As much as your conscious thinking self might get in the way at times, it would be very handy in a circumstance like this one to remind you of when to be diplomatic and when to keep your own counsel. I've also found that people who use their intuition successfully in unsympathetic circumstances devise ways of making their intuitive decisions sound logical after the fact. Consider the different responses a person might get in a business context when asked to justify a purchase of gold futures. Person number one says, "Well, I asked my spirit guide and she advised me to do it." Person number two says, "Past experience and the total momentum of the market at this time seem to justify the purchase." Reply number two really isn't specific, but it's certainly a more acceptable way to phrase a decision in most business contexts. And of course, some of what is called intuition is, in fact, past experience. In workshops, I often invite people to develop cover stories so that they can safely use their intuition in a professional situation or in an unsympathetic situation and be able to talk about the process in acceptable terms. This is not an attempt to deceive anyone, but rather to allow you to be able to use your intuition safely. More acceptable euphemisms for intuition include calling it past experience, the total situation, the big picture, making allusions to analogous situations, situations in the past, being kind of vague, citing statistics, and in general, using terminology and phrases that are acceptable in your particular context. Another broader concern about intuition is, what if I open the door to intuition and I can't close it when I need to? What if I become too sensitive so that I'm flooded with impressions and I'm continuously intuitive and become something like a human mood ring? Or what if I know things that I shouldn't and have no business knowing? Some people have the concern that they'll become unlimited in their intuitive abilities and be unable to function virtually. This is, again, a protective concern and makes very good sense at an unconscious level. The antidote to this concern seems to be a willingness to contextualize your intuition so that you only use it at times when it's helpful, necessary, or something can be usefully done in a situation. You can make arrangements, make a deal with your intuition in the next exercise to only come through for you consciously at such times. Also remember again to only ask questions that you want the answer to and that are relevant to something you are doing or a resource that you want to develop in your life. One way to think of intuition is as a skill, a tool that can be applied to tasks and for resources you want to develop. It's also a sensitivity that you're in the process of encouraging, and as such it needs to be contextualized. Don't use it to show off at parties or to open yourself up to people in situations that you're fundamentally uncomfortable with. There are times when it's just intelligent to not be intuitive, times when it makes sense to be a little self-protective. As far as the concern about knowing things that you shouldn't, if you're working with friends, doing readings for them, or do readings as a regular practice, or are working in an intuition support group, make sure that you get into the habit of phrasing the results of your readings, any recommendations or information that come to you, in a manner that gives the other person the most power and freedom of choice in their lives. It's very important to avoid putting curses on people, and instead to emphasize what they can do about a potentially difficult problem. If you get information about a situation that seems alarming, realize that there is a need to emphasize the positive. Nothing is inevitable or fated or set in cement. The whole point of developing intuition is to increase your resources, so make sure that you have enough information to make positive recommendations whenever you do readings. It's also important that the other person understand that they are solely responsible for their life, even though you're doing an intuitive reading for them at that time. They have to take responsibility for their life and actions so that you are free to be responsible for yours. Developing intuition will expand the limits of your world and who you can be in it. People sometimes have concerns because becoming intuitive is inconsistent with their self-image and beliefs about who they are. Many men, for instance, are taught that intuition is the domain of women. You might say something like, "I don't see myself as an intuitive, creative, effective, or especially intelligent person." You may see yourself as being on the rational end of the spectrum. Some people even have objections against being too happy or fulfilled. One antidote for this concern is to make sure that you grow at a rate that respects how you have conceived of yourself until now, so that you avoid upsetting a way of life that has worked for you all this time. Each of us carries a version of the world, a map, so to speak, within us. We have beliefs about what kind of place the world is and who we are inside of it. When we grow, we expand our horizons to include new boundaries, and our map gets bigger, better defined. A lot of our beliefs are based on our cultural heritage, sex roles, personal history, family background. Many things we once believed are now obsolete, and there are things that we assume to be true now which one day we will probably re-examine. The trick seems to be to respect the fact that this is an ongoing process which requires at times courage, at times patience, and at times honesty. One thing I found in workshops is that people are usually eager to talk about their own intuitive experiences and pleased to find other people who are interested. Often they report that they can't really talk about intuition and the whole realm that it implies in their subjective experience to anyone in their lives. It's often an important experience and realization in a situation like a workshop or, say, an intuition support group, to realize that most of the people that you fear might judge you for your own intuitive capacities also fear judgment themselves. I really recommend forming a support group or at least having friends with whom you can talk about these things and work with. Some of the other recommendations are in the workbook and explained at length. Journal keeping is a very good idea, keeping a daily record of flashes and hunches, various kinds of intuitions. Being willing to notice and to take the time and to give your intuition space and room to flower is also really important. Any time you can give yourself to relax, let go of physical and emotional stress and tension is vitally important. The next exercise will help you include and incorporate your objections and to possibly integrate them with your intuitive desires. It will begin in 30 seconds.